Chapter 4. The Crown Ruby. We hurry past the sleeping prince down a long hallway that leads through the castle. The walls are marble, and there's a plush red carpet underfoot. The ceilings are super high, with glass chandeliers dangling down. There are fancy gold sculptures everywhere, but no sign of a ruby or a crown. Thankfully, the castle is really quiet. Everyone must still be sleeping. "Do you see any crowns?" I ask Jonah as we walk. "Or rubies?"
"Nope and nope,"
he says, glancing from side to side. I spot something at the end of the hall, a massive clock. We hurry toward it, and I check the time. 6:15 a.m. I glance at my watch. It's 12:15 a.m. at home. So it's 6 hours ahead here in Dewes? Maybe. Sometimes time moves weirdly in fairy tales. I'll have to keep checking. We need to be back home by 7 a.m. Smithville time. Tomorrow is Saturday, so our parents won't come and wake us up. But my parents are usually up and about by 7, and sometimes even working in the basement by 7:30. We can't exactly pop through the mirror into the basement when they're right there, can we? Jonah and I keep walking. We pass open doors that lead into empty bedrooms, all of them with ornate furniture and fluffy rugs. But no crowns or rubies. I wonder why the princesses all share one bedroom when there are extra bedrooms in the castle. Maybe they like it that way. If I had a sister, it would be fun to share a bedroom. Kind of like it's been fun sharing with Mary Rose. Anyway.
"Let's look inside there,"
Jonah whispers, pointing to another open doorway. Hopefully it doesn't lead into the king's bedroom. We tiptoe into what must be the royal dining room. It's huge, with a long gold table at its center. There are 12 gold chairs and a taller chair at the head of the table. On the wall hangs a framed painting showing the 12 princesses and their parents.
Oh!
In the portrait, the princesses all look much younger than they did when we saw them in their room. The youngest is just a baby. The king has blonde hair, pale skin, blue eyes, and a serious expression. The queen has brown skin and dark brown eyes with dark ringlets twisted up in a bun. She's smiling. Both wear gold crowns. Neither has rubies in it. I'm about to say we should try another room when Jonah pokes me. Hard.
"Abby!"
he hisses, pointing to the far end of the dining room. I look. There's a tall glass display case with something inside it. A big gold cushion. And sitting on the cushion is
a crown!
The crown is silver and gold and studded with 12 small diamonds. And right in the center of the crown is a ruby. I stare at the ruby. It's big, about the size of a plum.
"This must be it! The crown ruby! Woot woot! We did it!"
We found exactly what Mary Rose sent us here for. We are fairy tale geniuses. "That jewel has to be the crown ruby," I tell Jonah. He cocks his head.
"How do you know for sure?"
"Because it's red," I explain. "Rubies are red, violets are blue. I know that rhyme and so must you."
"I don't think that's how it goes," Jonah says. "But what do we do?"
"We figure out a way to get the crown out of the display case." Jonah's eyes widen.
"So we're going to steal the crown?"
"I guess so," I say.
"And we're okay with that?"
I sigh, feeling uneasy. "Well, no. Of course it's not right to steal. But we need that ruby for Mary Rose to get her powers back. Maybe she'll return it to Dewes after she's strong again." He frowns.
"I don't like this."
"I don't like it either, Jonah. I'm not pro-stealing, but what else can we do?" The sun is streaming through the windows now. We have to act fast. I hurry over to the display case, and Jonah follows. I gaze up. The case is tall. Very tall. Jonah, I say, can you get on my shoulders and see if there's a way to open the case? Okay, Jonah huffs, although I can tell he thinks this will be fun. Careful, I say as I crouch down. Jonah sits on my shoulders, and I slowly stand up. Oof. I used to give Jonah piggyback rides when he was younger, but he's bigger now. The good news is, he can easily reach the crown this way. Jonah reaches out and touches the glass case. I'm sure he's leaving fingerprints on it. Crumbs. Hopefully we can just grab the ruby and go back to Smithville before anyone even knows we were here. It's locked, he says. There's no way to open it? No, unless we break the glass. We are not doing that, I say. You could hurt yourself, badly. Also, I'm pretty sure breaking glass will be loud. If no one's awake now, they will be after. There has to be another way, I say. A loud chime echoes through the castle, making me jump. Jonah sways on my shoulders. The next thing I know, Jonah is falling toward the display case, elbows first. Jonah! I cry, holding on to his legs. His elbows smash right into the case. I wince, waiting for the sound of breaking glass and Jonah's scream of pain. But neither comes. Ouch, he says, still on my shoulders. I guess it's bulletproof glass. Are your elbows bullets? You know what I mean. Are you okay? I ask, worried. I think so, he says, rubbing his elbows. We hear voices outside the room. Uh-oh. We gotta go, I say, helping Jonah slide down and off my shoulders. Where? I don't know, I say. The voices are getting closer. I glance toward the windows. I don't think we'll be able to open them in time to escape, but the windows are framed by long gold curtains. Come on, I tell Jonah, and I pull him toward the curtains 1 second before the 12 princesses enter the room.